Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kick off NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. All you got to do is place your first $5 bet. Sign up with promo code 2400 to get in on the action, and then you can turn game day into payday all season long. And the best part, take that 150 in free bets. There's big games every weekend, ones you'll have big opinions on, and you can get on your way. Play your way. Bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You name it, FanDuel's got more markets than anybody. You can even combine your bets for a chance of a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code 2400. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and up in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I am Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, the radio flagship home of the Cowboys. Joined as always by former Super Bowl winning NFL scout Brian Broaddus, now co-host of the G-Bag Nation, 2 to 7 p.m. on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Monday through Friday. And we're coming at you with two shows back-to-back for the very first time, I think, actually. We're hitting you with shows on back-to-back days. And we had to make sure we got in one of our top what are we calling y'all these days? I guess the Commanders is the name of it now. We had to bring in the top Commanders guest.
I wish. So on my little soundboard, I have the announcement when Doug Williams went, "We are the Commanders." And I don't have my soundboard set up right now. Otherwise, I would hit you. I can send it to you for Peyton to add in post.
There we go. Post-production. You guys will never be the wiser other than us talking about it here, obviously. but we're joined by an old DFW friend, too, Craig Hoffman. He is host of The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 in D.C. and co-host of the Take Command podcast, which is one of our sister podcasts here on the Odyssey Podcast Network. Craig, thanks so much for joining us today. How are things?
Things are good, man. I mean, well, Commanders-wise, they're terrible, but, you know, I'm doing fine, and it's great to be with you guys. You know, Brian and I knew each other a little bit when I was in Dallas, so always good to talk to Brian. I actually was talking to my co-host, Logan, about you guys the other day, and I was like, I think the first guy that I really, like, understood the importance of film study was Brian Broaddus. So I was hoping that we could get together. You know, Bobby, we're looking forward to having you, just the way schedules are working on our pod coming up here in a few days, and so excited to talk to you guys here.
So what is the overarching theme right now for Commanders fans? What are they looking at with this football team? I got to tell you, looking at there seems like there's a lot of things to take away from this football team right now. I got to say, I'm actually very impressed with the skill players. I think they've done a really good job of you know, bringing in Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissick, everything that they're doing with Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, really shifty, exciting players. At quarterback's a little bit of a work in progress, it feels like. Feels like it's been a work in progress for, you know, since Mark Rippon, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. I don't even go back that far. I mean, the overarching thing, though, right now, guys, is coaching. And, like, that's kind of the big question that we've been talking about is head coaching. Obviously, Ron Rivera has, like, he hasn't had a good year in a long time through two organizations. And he, even though they won the division his first year here, it was a 7-9, you know, sub-500 division win. Which, you know, again, like I know Dallas fans are familiar with some of those over the years too, like having been down there. I'm not saying that as a shot. Like sometimes that's just the way the division goes, but you're still, we're 7-9. So he's never had a winning season here. You're going into year three. It feels like the talent is going the wrong direction. The coordinators feel like they're not very good to possibly really bad. Del Rio, I think, had a really good week last week, which kind of saved his bacon after a really bad week two against Detroit. But as the defense steadied a little bit and just had some plays made on them against Philadelphia, Scott Turner called a pretty rough game for the second week in a row. And you're going, wait a second, offensively, are they now going to not be able to use all this talent? So it's a really frustrating time because it feels like the organization is just kind of, you know, it's hamster wheeling yet again. And, you know, that also can be attributed to the quarterback thing going back to Rippon. Like any place you point outside of those skill position guys you talked about, it feels like the same old when Rivera was supposed to be the fix guy.
Yeah, Craig, if you guys play Sam Howell, you'll win the division. Trust me on that. You know, seriously, that kid could play. You know, when we were working on the draft and you were, you know, talking about watching film and all that, there was a lot thrown at him, and here I am talking about a third-string quarterback right now. But to me, it kind of talks about where the Commanders are. You know, the talent's there. The offensive line, yeah, some train wreck stuff going on there. But the skill players, the tight end, the running backs and all that, I'm thinking if this team just had a quarterback that on 3rd and 5 wouldn't take a sack, you know, that's – you know, I mean, I've seen Sam Howell play a bunch in North Carolina. When the pick was made, 5th round pick, I'm going, my gosh. Because I know for a fact that was a guy that the Dallas Cowboys really, really wanted. And it kind of didn't fall the right way for them. But Sam Howell was the guy. My question for you is, and you mentioned the quarterback play, is that the thing that we're going to remember about if Ron Rivera fails at the Commanders, is it they were never able to get the quarterback position solidified?
That is certainly the story he will tell himself. Whether that is actually true or not, I think, is a different story. Ron is very well respected around the league. Having eyes on him, like I'm not on the beat anymore. And as someone who was a beat reporter, you know, when I left Dallas, I came here to be on the beat covering the Commanders. And so being in it every day, I will always have the respect for folks in, you know, Bobby, like yourself, who's an insider, like you're there. I don't have that perspective now, and I haven't the entire time Rivera's been here. I've been in other roles. But from the seat that I sit in, he does not impress me as a head coach. I think he's very surface level, platitudinal. He's good at some of the motivational stuff. He has been able to keep teams together. There are some head coaching things he is good at. When it comes to building a football team, I don't think he's very good at it. I think their skill position guys have certainly been great. They inherited obviously McLaurin, and they did a good job with some of those guys in their first draft class, but that was also a different guy doing the drafting. Kyle Smith, who's now in Atlanta, was the personnel executive in charge of that draft. And so really the last 2 years since Martin Mayhew's been here and Marty Herney, guys that Ron was more familiar with, I don't think that they've done a good job of building the roster. And the other thing that I think is really more defining, Brian, to kind of get to the heart of your question is Rivera is very slow and reactive to everything. He's not proactive. And so a lot of the problems that Washington has had in their two losses, and even that they survived in their win over Jacksonville, which admittedly looks better by the week here, these are issues that we all said, like, hey, they've got to shore up corner depth. Hey, do they really have someone in the nickel? Their linebacker play is like it's gotten better the last couple weeks, but then defensive line wise on the defensive side of the ball, their depth is not any good. Like they have obviously the multiple first round picks, but their inability to recognize their own issues and then solve them, I think would be the defining thing if it does ultimately go south with Rivera. And I do think quarterback is part of that because they could have been more aggressive in the draft last year. They could have done something more aggressive in the offseason last year. Instead, they decide to go all in on Wentz, a guy who's 29 years old and you know what he is, and he's being exactly the guy he's always been.
is you know, Craig, is he a guy that's broken? I see a broken player when I watch him on tape. I don't see a guy that he stands up there on the podium and says all the right things and takes blame for things and responsibility. You got to love him for that. But he looks like a broken player to me.
So I won't say I would disagree with the phrase broken. You look, your film acumen is higher than mine. So if you want to change, you know, stay true to your opinion.
I trust your judgment.
But yeah. I would describe him as flawed, not broken.
Okay.
Because he's also the guy that threw four touchdowns in week one, survived two picks to make a huge throw late in that game to McLaurin. He can touch every part of the grass, and watching this offense when it's going compared to Heinicke and Alex Smith and these guys that could not push the ball down the field, or Dwayne Haskins, you know, which is always awkward to talk about now, obviously, because of what tragically happens with Dwayne. But as a quarterback, like, he couldn't read it out. He never got to that point in his progression in his career. And so when you watch this offense with Carson, there's stuff he does that blows your mind and is going to 2-3, maybe even another 4-touchdown game at some point this season that keeps you in games because you can get back into it like that because he can score from anywhere. But he is a guy that also does not quickly get to checkdowns, and that's really important in modern NFL offenses, especially when you have the skill position players that can take a 2-yard air, you know, completion into a 80-yard touchdown like Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Antonio Gibson, etc. He does hold the ball too long in general. He doesn't always read it well. His ball security is an issue. As we saw last week, he had a fumble knocked out on a play where you should never get the ball knocked out because he was holding it 2 feet from his chest. Right. So, like, he is flawed, and I don't expect him to change. You can still win some amount of games with him. So I would not call him broken, but, you know, if you want to say he's broken, then he's not fixable either. So, like, he's flawed, and I don't think their flaws are getting any better.
You know what, Craig? I mean, I watch him play, and the word broken, I mean, maybe his spirit, maybe the things that you want to say, you know, with the toughness and things like that. I there's things that he does as a quarterback. You're absolutely right. That you go, my gosh, I see why he was selected by the Eagles where he
totally
was. Totally. You know,
and by the way, he used to be able to run. And that's an element to his game that is gone, and it's really a problem, and I'm terrified of it in this Dallas game after watching Daniel Jones escape so much pressure.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, I watch him and I'm thinking about, man, this kid's spirit, everything that they've thrown at him, and he's, you know, how he left Indianapolis basically with, you know, the ownership going, if you don't get rid of him, I'm getting rid of the general manager and the coach. You two are going to, you'll pay the price for this one. And I kind of wonder, the guy has great faith in, you know, in his insides and things like that. But then when you watch him, you wonder, is this guy, you say, flawed? And yeah, there's flaws there. But I wonder about his spirit. I wonder how much more can he take of having success and then at the end of the game completely falling apart.
I hear you. And I think it's a valid observation. I will say, listening to him post game, his Wednesday press conference, et cetera, I've actually been pretty impressed with his spirit this year because it was something I had a lot of questions about as well. I think that he actually has also done a good job of learning how to take ownership, which was a huge problem by the end in Philly. Like, sure. Carson Wentz, I was talking about this on my show with Scott Jackson today when he was in we have a rotating cast of co-hosts, and Scott's been doing this a long, long time in the radio world. And I think Scott made a great point. He's like, he says I way more than the head coach does. Rivera never takes ownership, which is hilarious because he'll be like, we need to do this. We need to do this. And I'm like, what's this we thing? You're the team president and the head coach. Like, you are the we. So sure, say we, but we know it means you. Carson, like, he got sacked 9 times in the last game. And there's play calling issues there. There's offensive line issues there. There were route issues there where guys didn't get out and didn't give him options. And he's like, I have to be better. Which was also true. There was also Carson, you know, issues in nine sacks. But he took ownership of his part of it. He's like, I need to be better. I need to help this team get better. I got to play better. And I think that ownership and the fact that he's at this point been through so much, I actually don't think he's getting that phased. We're also in week 3. If it continues to be really bad, talk to me again the second time we play later this year. But I actually have been impressed by that so far. And I do think, like, whether you're a religious person or not, and I will admit, I am not a particularly religious person. He is very religious. He is a man of faith. Yeah. And I think that stuff is very real with him, that he's like, oh, God's got me and I'm going to be okay. And like, I'm not in a position to say whether God's got him or not, but if he believes it, that's going to help his spirit, you know?
Hey, I remember working in Jacksonville, and Mark Brunell was a religious guy. And Mark Brunell threw three interceptions one day, and Tom Coughlin and him were talking, and Tom goes, you know, Mark goes, well, that was God's will. And Tom fired back at him, God did not want you to throw three interceptions today. He said that to Mark, and Mark just looked at him like, oh, okay. But yeah, Tom, deadpan, God did not want you to throw three interceptions today. I'm just telling you that.
You have sinned.
Yeah, you have sinned.
Well, and, you know, Craig, you mentioned the 9 sacks there for Carson Wentz in the last game against Philadelphia. Dallas, obviously, one of these teams that can bring a lot of pressure. Man, you look at the injury report, it's riddled. I know Charles Leno was apparently just a vet day today, but it was still listed as a shoulder. He didn't practice. You didn't get Schweitzer, who's was playing center. Nick Martin, Zach Martin's brother, I know, was playing center at practice today for him. But then you've also got Sam Cosmi, who I think's been okay.
He's been okay.
Yeah. He's been picked up. Sadiq Charles, who I feel like they've wanted him to kind of take on a larger role. They've kind of been waiting for it. It hasn't clicked for him yet. He was limited in practice today. How are they going to block this Dallas front?
Why, you got to ask? I don't get paid enough to answer that question.
I'm not going to take ownership, so I need you.
Good point. So the strategic side of this, like beyond the bodies, we can talk about the bodies. Nick Martin probably plays center if Schweitzer's out. They're going to have to stick with Trey Turner at right guard. Hopefully he plays better. He did miss a ton of camp. Maybe he's rusty. Maybe he's over the hill and just stinks now. It's possible. I hate saying that about a guy who's been really good throughout his career, but he might not be a good NFL football player anymore. So the bodies they'll have to figure out based off health. We'll know that later in the week. I'd imagine Cosmi plays. Leno's fine. He could have practiced today, but they're like, you're a vet. Like, we trust you. You're a vet. It's a vet day. Let your shoulder heal up for an extra 24 hours. And then we'll see, obviously, with some of those depth guys like Charles. But strategically, they need to stay out of third down as much as possible. Our favorite stat, our favorite stats come from Warren Sharp on our podcast. And there's like all these great stats about chunk plays,
Brian's,
and all this kind of stuff.
Brian's dude.
A quick detour. Our favorite one ever. We mention it every podcast. If you get a chunk play of 15 yards or more on any drive, you are 55% chances to score. If you don't, you're 5% chances to score.
Yeah, absolutely. Which
is like the most mind-blowing, like, oh, yeah, that's how important chunk plays are.
Chunk plays are becoming more important than turnovers.
I believe that. That makes total sense.
Teams are winning turning over the ball, but you're a team.
Commanders did week one.
You'll win games. Or you defend chunk plays, you'll win games.
Totally. And that's, by the way, been their problem defensively in the two games. They've given up a ton of yardage and a ton of points. But the other favorite thing that Warren said when he came on with us in the preseason was the best way to be good on third down is to never get to third down.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And that, I think, was on full display in that 9 sack performance by the Eagles. Is the Commanders found themselves in a ton of obvious passing downs. And by the way, it wasn't just third and long, but it was, hey, the Commanders line up in this formation on 2nd and 5, and they love to take a shot here. There is one of the sacks where they play action to Antonio Gibson, and Antonio Gibson literally runs directly past Fletcher Cox, who doesn't flinch at all, because he knows it's play action, he knows it's a shot play, and he gets a sack on the play. So you've got to, one, break tendencies and be better with your play calling, but two, stay out of third and long, stay out of obvious passing situations. That way Micah Parsons has to be aware of a ball carrier potentially going past him. He's got to be aware of where his gap is on run fits, because if you let Parsons and Tank Lawrence pin their ears back and go, this offensive line does not have a shot. And especially is hard because Carson isn't super fond of getting the ball out quickly to checkdowns. So I think there's play calling stuff that Scott Turner, their offensive coordinator, has to do a really good job of using the screen game and getting the ball out quickly. But like man on man, the answer is they're not going to be in good shape if the Cowboys can get them in obvious passing downs.
Hey, Craig, real quick, though, I'm going to ask on a defensive question. The one kid that I was impressed with was the corner, St. Juice.
Yeah.
Is there something to his game? There's a little bit of that kind of the scouting term of a dog. I mean, a dog in a good way.
He's
got toughness. He's around the ball. He's a willing tackler. I think it's a talented defense. And, you know, in the corners, I think, are fine. Is he a guy? Am I seeing him the right way? Or am I missing something there?
So far this year, he's the best corner on the team. William Jackson III's really struggled since he's come over from Cincinnati. He was hurt last week. St. Juice slotted back outside. And that's the thing is, like, he played well outside last year, but it was obviously a rookie. Like, there were some mistakes, right? So he comes back this year, and they put him at nickel. And because they have Kendall Fuller, who they don't trust as much in the nickel anymore, used to be a great nickel corner, now probably better outside, and William Jackson. And they're paying those guys a ton of money. And they don't really have a nickel corner. They started this rookie, Rashad Wildgoose, who's been here 2 weeks last week.
He was not good. Yeah,
he was not good at all. He had two huge pass interference penalties, and that was basically his impact on the game. So St. Juice, he's got length. He's well over 6 feet tall. He's got really quick feet. He's very intelligent. You saw him running routes for receivers last week, had a ton of pass breakups. And really, I mean, the Next Gen Stats had this really great stat on the A.J. Brown touchdown that he gave up. There's 0.3 yards of separation. A.J. Brown just big bodied him because he's better. But that's a top five receiver in the league. That could happen to any corner. And so, yeah, St. Juste is good. I'm very curious to see, assuming Jackson is back, where they use him this week, if they slot him back inside, or even if he's outside in base and then inside against, you know, or in, when they're in nickel. Right. You are seeing that correctly. He has definitely been a bright spot on a otherwise very up and down and at times very down defense.
Craig Hoffman is the host of The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and also co-host of the Take Command podcast, which is also on the Odyssey Podcast Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig Hoffman. Craig, thank you so much for your time.
You got it. Have a good rest of the show, boys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.